I'm going to ask you, are you ready for Christmas? Raise your hand if you're ready for Christmas. Hey, can we say boo on three to whoever just raised their hand? No, we're not going to do that. As people were coming in this morning, I was going around asking and saying, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? So I caught a number of you. And by and large, what I heard was, no, I'm not ready for Christmas. And then I found myself saying, well, good, because I'm not either. And that makes me feel better about myself and all the things I need to do. And then I asked one person, they said, yes, I'm ready here for Christmas in my heart. But are all the events lined up? Is everything organized? That's another story. When we think of Christmas, when we think of this time of year, we think of preparations that need to take place. Gifts that need to be purchased. Wrapping that needs to take place. How many people wait till Christmas Eve to wrap? Let's be honest here. A few of you? Okay, I'm one of those. I wrap on Christmas Eve. We have dinners that we need to go to. Oftentimes our employers, are the places we work, throw Christmas parties, so that gets put on the calendar. If we have children who might be in school, we have plays and programs to attend. We have family get-togethers. And oftentimes, those can be a source of busyness and things we add to the schedule. Decorations that need to go up. And family traditions that we follow. And at times, those add busyness. I know one of the ones I just went to, family tradition, is going to East Peoria for the Festival of Lights. Many of you I see nodding are like, yeah, that's part of it. I've done that since I was a child. And it hasn't changed too much. But when I take my kids to that, it's almost nostalgic, because I remember going and doing that. And then we go through that, and then we go through a little nativity they have over there, and then I kind of find myself saying, why was this so awesome when I was a kid? I could be through this in 15 minutes, but it's one of those traditions that we do. We have greeting cards that we send out. And there's more and more things that we are busy and we're rushing to prepare. And what I want to invite you to do today is to just take a few moments to prepare our hearts. You know, it's interesting with this message and then not really knowing what the chorale would be like and what they would do, but just the quietness and the beauty, the calmness, the peacefulness of what they just brought for us. It's really fitting that it would lead us to reflect just for a few moments, try to block out the noise. Prepare our hearts for Christ. We all need to take that time to do that. I want to invite you to look at a scripture with me this morning. It's Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You can follow along on the screen. And what I'm about to read takes place, what Luke tells us, is in about AD 26 to AD 27. So this is after Christ's birth, but it's before his public ministry. And John speaks, John the Baptist, to the need to prepare for the coming of God's kingdom, the coming of Christ the King to the world. It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priest. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled, and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened, and the rough places made smooth. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God.'" the way of Jesus is the way of hope. It's John the Baptist's message is all about. He, in fact, his ministry and his message really aren't about him. People come out to hear. They've been anticipating the hope of salvation politically. And when they hear of a prophet in the wilderness calling and proclaiming news of a coming Savior, the people are eager to come out and to hear this news. And the message of John is not about him. It's not about his message. It's about the one who is coming. And his message is this, that the way of Jesus, God's Messiah, the King who is coming, is the way of hope. So John says, prepare. Prepare your heart for his coming. John humbly points to the coming of God to his people. And he ministers in such a way that reflects humility. His message and the message of Jesus are the same. They announce good news, that God's kingdom has come to earth, that God himself has come for all people in all places to bring salvation. And not just salvation individually, but restoration. Restoration for our relationships that have gone wrong. Restoration for our world that is broken. The message of Jesus and the message of John are the same. There's hope. The kingdom of God has come. Get ready. So John calls the nation of Israel to prepare, to come out and to be baptized, symbolizing washing, cleansing, humility. And it's fascinating that he calls not just the nations to come, but the nation of Israel. Because all people everywhere, regardless of whether you're religious or not, regardless of whether, what background you're from, who you are, the good news is for every person, in every place, in every space. This message of hope comes to all people. And I want to share with you, really quickly, three lessons we can learn about the way of Jesus from this passage. The way of Jesus that is the way of hope. The first lesson is this. The way of Jesus embraces humility and resist power in politics. The way of Jesus is a humble way. It's interesting that several leaders are named in our passage. In fact, like the whole power structure of that area is named. Tiberius, among others, Herod. And during that time, these were very, very significant individuals. But they're just mentioned almost in passing in Luke's narrative. And the focus comes on this character in the wilderness, John the Baptist, and then the coming of Christ, not through power, but in a very weak, lowly, humble way to bring this message. It's fascinating that the Messiah, the King, would come not through the channels of power politics, but he would come humbly. He comes to the weak and lowly. The word of God comes to a prophet in the wilderness, outside of those power structures. And all people are called to prepare for the coming of God's kingdom, to make ready their hearts for the coming Savior. The way of Jesus embraces humility. It is a way of humility. The second lesson we can learn is that the way of Jesus is the only lasting hope for the world. The political leaders mentioned are all but forgotten by most people. It's fascinating. Most children, if you ask them if they've heard of John the Baptist, many would say, yeah, even those who have not grown up around the church, many have heard of who John the Baptist is. But you ask a large group of children, how many of you have heard of Tiberius? Not many people have. And it's pretty fascinating when we look through the lens of history. Now, we know Tiberius, at this time of John the Baptist, was ruling. But just a few years later, AD 37, he dies. And Roman historians don't really like Tiberius. In fact, they vilify him when they write about him, that he was not a good guy. In fact, he kind of secluded himself away, and he was known for his immorality and the things he did. And Roman historians are not very kind to Tiberius. And it's fascinating when we look back of all these power structures and people and places largely forgotten. And it's a reminder to us to how temporary power and politics are. And how there is a hope, and that there God is at work in our world, especially in those moments where his cause seems to be powerless or weak. If you lived during this time, it would seem like the political rulers and the powers that be are so powerful and prominent that they are somehow independent of God's authority and his rule as our creator. But Luke helps us see through another lens that during this time, God is moving and he is at work and he's unfolding his plan of redemption, the message of salvation for all people during this time. Jesus is the only lasting hope for the world. And as we hear this story, it reminds us that the same is true for today, that the message that we have, that the unending hope that we have is found in the person of Jesus Christ. The final lesson is this: the way of Jesus brings hope to all who turn to him fully for salvation and life. It's a message that isn't just for the world, and it's important that we receive the message as though as it's intended. It's intended for individuals. The message of Christ, the message of Christmas, is a message that we need, and it brings life to everyone who fully turns to receive it. Advent is a time for us to consider again the reasons why Jesus came. Number one, Jesus came to bring salvation to all people. John chapter 3 talks about this. God's love for the world is so great that he gives his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have life. God doesn't send his son to bring condemnation, but to save. And that's through fully turning to him, trusting, believing in him. Jesus came to bring hope in the midst of despair. The good news doesn't come to those who are experiencing good times alone. The good news especially comes to those who are walking in despair, who are discouraged. And I invite you, as you consider and as you hear again the Christmas story, that you'd open your heart and allow God to shine into those areas. What areas might be sources of discouragement for you? Are there areas that seem hopeless? Are there moments and places where you feel as though things are, despair is just right around the corner? The message of Christmas comes not into a perfect world. Christ does not come into a perfect world. He enters into a broken one. And he comes humbly because he's the God of those who are sick, those who are lowly, those who are down and out, not of those who are powerful, those who resist, who have pride. He's the God of the humble. Jesus comes especially for those who need him, those who are broken. The way we find our way back to him is when we turn our hearts fully to him. It wasn't too long ago, well, actually it was, that I took a trip, and it was somewhere far, far from Illinois, South Dakota. How many of you have been to South Dakota? A few of you have been to, well, quite a few, that's good. And I grew up in central Illinois, so all my time was here. It's flat, the roads are straight, right? Pretty easy to drive. And a few years back, we took a trip actually on my honeymoon with my wife. And you can give me a hard time for who takes their wife to South Dakota for a honeymoon. Usually people go somewhere warm, and I'll never live that down either. Anyways, I want to show you a picture, a couple pictures actually, of just the terrain that we took 12 years ago on our honeymoon. One of those your left is a view as we were in the Black Hills heading to see Mount Rushmore. And I became aware of how perilous and how crooked and how uneven the roads are, and really dangerous. We drive through these spots where only one car can go at a time, and you don't see very many things like this in Illinois, and I just remember having that sense of like, I really hope nobody decides to come flying around that corner, and what am I going to do? I got to back out. What do you do? And then the picture on the right there is the Badlands, trails. I remember walking out onto some of those spots. Very perilous, uneven terrain, trails that we were on. Potentially dangerous, hard to see, hard to hear, hard to know the path ahead. It's kind of what our text is talking about. But it's not talking about literal mountains. It's talking about the difficulty, the uneven ground of not knowing, not being able to see the way forward. John says it's level. Christ is coming. Make ready for his coming. Prepare the way of the Lord so that all people who believe might see and hear and know the way of hope. So I don't know if there's any parts of your life that are uneven, that are uncertain, that are hard to see. The message of Christmas is a message of hope, and it's for everyone. All God asks is that we turn our hearts fully to him, or we might need to return our hearts fully to Christ. Are you following the way of Jesus? I want to close in prayer, and then we're going to have IVC come again. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We're grateful that we know that no matter what situation we are in, no matter what we are facing, that there is a way of hope. And the way of Jesus is a way of hope. We pray that you'd give us the faith to fully turn to you, believing that the way of Jesus is that way of hope. Sometimes we can't see that. Sometimes because of the difficulties around us or in us, it makes it hard for us to see that way of hope. But we pray that again that you would fill our hearts with hope as we trust in Christ, as we believe and as we commit to follow him, that you would fill our hearts with hope in such a way that we can go and we can share this message of hope. Our world needs this message of hope. So Father, we just pray that you would help our hearts to be prepared. And even in these moments, Father, as we continue to worship you now, would you help us just to quiet our hearts enough to hear you, to receive again the hope of Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Will you